This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Mike Bo, Tiff here, hanging out with you all today. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing good, Tiff. Doing good. Happy to be here.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're coming off a win. The Hawks upset win last night makes it good.
See, I never know where you're like, well.
You know, you inspired me yesterday.
Hang on. Let me turn around for this.
Yeah. You inspired me.
I'm scared slightly.
Well, same. I love chicken thighs. We talked about this yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And you you did yours on in your cast iron. I have a cast iron skillet too. This is going to sound really dumb, but I love using my cast iron, but I hate using it at the same time because you have to clean it immediately. So instead, I used the Blackstone, which you have to clean immediately. But I haven't fired my Blackstone all year since the turn of the and really probably since the middle of football season. I don't think I've used it.
Interesting.
Wait, what is the Blackstone?
The Blackstone is a flat top grill.
Yeah, it's like a griddle, right?
Yeah, propane.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the name of the company that makes them. They call them
Blackstone. Kind of like saying you're using your Traeger.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah. But I hadn't used it in a while because it's mainly because I just haven't been outside doing stuff like that. I've grilled a little bit. But I like when I'm doing a steak, I want to do it over a flame, and so I was like, you know what? I have grocery shopping. I'm going to grab some skinless chicken thighs, boneless and skinless chicken thighs.
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to throw them in some W sauce. A buddy of mine, my neighbor Bristow, gave me some Meat Church rub. So what's like a whole package of rubs, and so I threw a little bit of the all purpose on there, and pressed them down, and had some. Actually, I had rice-a-roni with it too, like I talked about.
Dude.
Sounds good. Yeah,
it does sound delicious.
It was a little post this leg day, so I was like, I'm just gonna go out. It was beautiful outside yesterday.
It was gorgeous. I actually fired the grill up too. I did some New York strips. Fired those up, got them hooked up. Man,
Steak Monday, huh?
I barely made it back to my house in time to actually fire the grill up because I tried to do a return. I hate doing returns, dude. I don't know if it's a me thing. A dude thing, or like, why? Oh,
I hate returns too, but it also depends on where it's at.
Home Depot?
Home Depot, yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are not always
Home Depot.
Fun.
And here's the thing, and God bless her, man. This lady that was doing the returns was having a rough time. She was having a bad day, and she was making it evident that she was having a bad day. I was like, she's like looking at me, her computer wasn't working. She was like tapping the same button, doing the same scan over and over again. And she finally looks at me and goes, I just want to go home. I was like, dude. I was like, hey, I wanted to be like, hey, if you get that computer working, I'd like to go home too. No, I'm just kidding. It was, she was struggling. So yeah, I made it home just in time to fire the grill up, get it hooked up. And so we had some steak last night. It was a good night, man. You're right. The weather was phenomenal yesterday. So, it's been enjoyable, at least the last 4 or 5 days, I feel like, to be outside when it's not terribly windy. But yeah, it's been a lot of good days in a row, man. I'm loving the old fall spring.
Well, Sunday
we'll probably do a little bit colder weather.
Sunday was pretty miserable. Sunday didn't get above 50, like two, and it was and it didn't get to 52 till we teed off at 8:15.
Miserable is a strong word for 52 degrees sunny weather.
It wasn't raining.
It didn't get to 52 to like probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it wasn't raining. It was windy at some point. It was overcast. I guess my problem was is I was outside from 8:15 to like maybe 12:30, and it was still 30 degrees for probably half of that time, maybe more. And so, yeah, it's not fun playing golf in 30-degree weather, although I had a good time. But yesterday was – this is the part – we're in that – I say I kind of think I kind of like it. It's the good part of spring. It's really, really crisp at night, almost cold. And then, like yesterday, you get to an awesome, like, what, 63 or something like that is what it felt.
Yeah, it was good.
So that's where we're at. I think that's from what I saw in the weather. That's pretty much the rest of March with a cold day here and there like we had Sunday.
Thanks, meteorologist. Resident meteorologist here.
Yeah, check that out,
I mean,
man.
Look, I did the
Bo Cantori.
Look, y'all want to go put me in a hurricane? I'll get a tie down.
Who wants to put you in a hurricane?
Well, that's what Jim Cantori does.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. It's like, you want to go put me out there? I'll put a rain jacket on.
I got
a microphone.
Yeah. I got you.
My first TV job, it's all hands on deck when it's weather and it's local TV. And so we had a hurricane in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And I think it was the second one to come through. The first one, they let me leave because I had just started. The second one, I had to hunker down with everybody else.
This is your job now.
So, but they sent me out like under an overpass and trying to warn people not to drive under because, is it 6 inches of water can carry your car away? So everything's on tape back then, and I need to somehow get this off of the tape so I can see it because it is boom goes the dynamite worthy.
Oh boy!
And so I'm saying, don't drive through this because it's really dangerous.
I always love these highlight reels
there's
on Instagram.
All this stuff on the ground, and so as my sister likes to, they saw it online back then. She's like, "There's a rug. There's some trash," and so this truck comes barreling through like with no problem after I already did it. So we were like, all right, let's do another take because you still shouldn't, drive through it.
Yeah.
And of course, when we get it back to the station, we're like, hey, use this take. But they use the one.
They use the one with the truck barreling through.
And because the town was such a small town and everyone knew that you were there just to learn how to be on TV and you're going to leave in 2 years, like old ladies would see me and be like, oh, I saw your cute little. Your little stand up out there the other day. So
remember,
anyway, turn around, don't drown.
Remember
that from the Weather Channel.
It's not that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing in a hurricane. But
you know,
the 6 inches thing is a defensive driving question. Because we kind of switch insurances, and in order to get not a discount, but to get a better rate. And with that came a defensive driving class. Online,
really,
that it says you're supposed to take, and if you do, you get another discount. So it got sent to me because I guess I was the one of the two of us that was eligible. So I did. You have to do the 6 hour course. So the 6 hour course with me was click 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 question, and it was like how many inches of standing water can affect you driving, and it's 6 inches. Yeah. So when Tiff said that, I was like, that's right, because I knew that.
Man, it's scary. It is scary. Like when I don't know if you've been in the elements when it's been like that, but in Louisiana, like I thought my Bonneville, the Batmobile, is going to get carried away one day. I was scared. let's hit the front page.
They'll bring it across with Bain. We're tied at 130. 12 seconds to go in the game now. Bain bouncing it outside. Down to six. Bain trying to drive. And it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Up to Caris LeVert. Caris goes in. He lays it up and in right at the buzzer. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. Dyson Daniels just stole it. Dyson Daniels stole it. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have won this game right at the buzzer.
All right, Steve Holman on the call there for the Atlanta Hawks win. And you heard that. Caris LeVert with the last second bucket to give the Hawks a 132-130 win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night.
And Dyson Daniels, three steals last night, including the most important play of the game. LeVert's little Euro step, stop midair, although the pause was pretty phenomenal. I got his name right. Can't get the word phenomenal right. Was pretty phenomenal,
Calvert,
as well, because the Grizzlies bench was like, he's traveled. He travels. Like, Nah, dog.
Zero steps.
I just want to put it out there that he got that move from me. I penned that move. Just
so it was you and not LeBron or any someone.
James Harden. Yeah. No,
yeah, it was
like
me. It was me. No. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
They watched my N1 mixtape.
Just make sure you can outthrow a couple of producers on this radio station. That should be the only thing you're talking about right now and concentrated on.
You're right.
Is your mixtape? Do you have a highlight reel? Is it online?
No, I was just playing
the rhyme.
I wish I did.
No,
I'm gonna put. I'm gonna put one out with all my rec highlights. Yeah, I'm gonna put one out with all my rec highlights.
Just make sure you include the missed free throws there, dog.
I will say, man, you were online talking about 92.9 the game night Thursday night at the Hawks. You were like I'm hollering at the people in the 200s.
Oh yeah, hey,
you set a trap for yourself. Man.
I didn't. I know what I'm capable of.
Well, actually,
I'm a Kelsey Plum that thing, man.
Actually, he was replying to the trap. He was replying to a tweet that someone set for themselves, their own trap, because they wanted to put it out there that it was a competition. And Dylan texted me and was like, "I'll throw my arm out."
Throw my arm out before I lose.
And I was like, that's like the
this
only.
Man's going to be so sore tomorrow.
I said, that is
Friday.
The only answer I ever wanted to hear from you. Because when competition is there, it's like 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a lot of fun watching the Hawks Grizzlies last night. I think a couple of guys probably strengthened their case for NBA postseason awards. Zachary Risashe, what do you have, 27, I believe he finished with?
11 of 14 from the field.
I got to check what the latest Rookie of the Year odds are. I know that he's not quite near the top, at least in my eyes, where he should be. And then also Dyson Daniels, you mentioned it, massive steal at the end of the game, the defensive player of the year. I think Trae Young tweeted out last night, DPOY, man. Hopefully strengthen his case as well. But a much-needed win, 8-point underdogs. Nobody expects the Hawks right now to do much of anything. But when you look at all these games against tough opponents, and we've mentioned it a couple times over the last few weeks, it's like you got to capitalize where you can. And you pull back to 5 games under 500 as you're still, you know, staring at the seeding in the East. And, look, I have no idea what the future holds for this team. But, man, that seems like it could be a momentum builder. And we talked about this 3-pack of games all along the lines for the Hawks the entire season. You know, hopefully they can get 3 in a row and we'll see what happens. But, you know, we talked about this being a huge stretch in terms of home games. Talked to Holman about it last week in terms of home games for this team. Got to capitalize on that and obviously able to do that last night.
Yeah, Trae Young, 12 points and 15 assist in that win. You heard the guys kind of loosely mention it. Thursday night is going to be the Atlanta Hawks night for 92.9 the game. So you can see a lot of these guys out here or out there at State Farm Arena, and that's ahead of their game against the Pacers.
Yeah, there's no truth to the rumor that John Fricke will be doing the swag surf again or whatever it is. But which was one of the most awkward moments in 99 game history. I love John, but it wasn't his thing.
Somebody set him up for failure, man. Like somebody set him absolutely up for failure.
It's always fun. Come watch Dylan throw his arm out. And you know, the thing about the t-shirt toss is Abe is also in a part of that. And Abe is going to have the equivalent of the granny a free throw shot, I'm sure, to somehow
pull this
off. You think
he's going to face away from the crowd and go over the top with two arms?
I don't know what he'll do, but he'll have something that he saw on YouTube that he said that he could perfect, I'm sure. That's Abe. You know
they
how
don't
Abe
let
is.
Anybody use the shooter cannon? Thingy, the cannon?
The
yeah.
gun? No.
Nah, they won't let us use it. Because I did
probably
the t-shirt
liability.
Yeah, I did the t-shirt toss last year. And
how
they
far did you make it last year?
I almost made it to the 200s last year. I'm not even lying. I almost made 200s last year.
Are you going to crow hop this thing? Straight up, you know.
Got to.
Outfield assist.
Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
The one where you like go head over hill, like basically like you go head first, you try to throw it so hard.
Like the soccer
yeah,
throw,
you
do the front flip.
If I have to.
Yeah. I can't. All right.
If I have to, I'll do it.
That's what Abe will do is a soccer throw.
Big news on the Braves front. We'll tell you who's going to be out for a significant portion of time. It's not good. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, and there's some big news on the Braves end of things. Catcher Sean Murphy, he will miss the start of the season with a rib injury. So the one-time All-Star and Gold Glove winner is expected to be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks with a cracked rib on his left side. That is what the team has announced.
95 miles an hour to the ribs, Tiff. Don't feel
it's
too
brutal.
Good.
I can imagine.
It's disappointing because you were hoping to get a resurgence from Sean Murphy, much like you know you had in his the year before he came here and the year after. There's no Travis d'Arnaud. They declined that option on him, and you know you were going to have it was going to be Sean Murphy and Chadwick Tromp. When the pitching staff is caught by Murphy, their ERA is like a whole point lower. But now you could see Phenom. I say Phenom, the 27th ranked prospect on Keith Law's top 100 baseball prospects is Drake Baldwin, and you might see him now.
Yeah, I think there's obviously you know, the possibility of that. I'll be curious. And let me just start with this. Real sad for Sean Murphy because, you know, you remember he had the, I think it was an oblique strain.
It was.
You know, early in the year last year, he comes back, he hits south of 200. It's
his
like
first at bat.
It's just like when you start thinking about the Braves, what's the one thing that we've talked about all offseason? It's like, oh, the offseason moves, offseason moves. No, you don't need any offseason moves. Too crazy. You just need to what? Stay healthy. You just need to stay healthy. You just need to get guys healthy. They just have to play up to their potential. And it's like, I mean, we are barely into March, and it's like, here we go. You know what I mean? So it's not it's not going to take him out half the season, hopefully. But when you look at just the recent history of him coming off injuries, that's where it sucks, man. There's no two ways about it. I'll be curious to see what they do with Drake Baldwin. I think they have to be careful here because I know that the consensus is Drake Baldwin, and I'm sure that we'll continue to hear more about that. But when you have a catcher developing in AAA and AA the way he was last year, and you're hitting, I think he, 280, something like that, 290, I think at the AAA level.
298.
At the AAA level, I know he hit that high. I think you have to be careful if you're not going to let a guy play every day that you have to put him in a situation where he can continue to develop.
Well,
I think that's really what you have to calculate as you move towards the opening day roster.
That's the only reason why he wasn't on the official roster for, the 40 man or whatever, is because they wanted him. Because look, the plan this year from everything I heard or, seen and reported and whatever, I'm not a Braves insider, but everything that he and others reported is the goal this year was Sean Murphy was your starter, Chadwick Trump is your backup, and Drake Baldwin has a year in AAA to continue to grow.
Yeah.
That said, there's no reason to me why this move in the rest of spring training, and depending on how long he misses in the regular season as Sean Murphy, that Drake Baldwin is not your starter and Chadwick Trump does not stay in the exact same role because guy hit right.
Did you call him a phenom? Is that what you used?
Yeah, right? I'm being a little
heavy handed.
I'm being a little bit homerish with the phenom thing, but this guy hit 298 with a 407 on base percentage in 72 games in Gwinnett. 12 homers. He had 52 walks in 72 games. He had 54 strikeouts. He struck out 50. So he's a guy that knows how to get on base. He's a left-handed guy with oppo power. So to me, the future is today. Do I want to see Drake Baldwin sit on the, once Sean Murphy comes back? No, but depending on how the pitching, because look, a catcher is one of those positions where the hitting is almost a secondary thing. It's great if you can hit, but how do you handle my pitching staff? And that is the thing that Sean Murphy is excellent at.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Drake Baldwin will get Chris Sale tonight this afternoon in the spring training game. And I'm curious, how much of that is set in stone moving forward for Brian Snicker. Was it just a matter of, oh, all right, well, Drake Baldwin's up? Or is it, hey, let's see how the rest of spring goes and we can kind of make a decision? Now, I know publicly Snicker would probably be like, yeah, we're going to see what happens. We're going to make sure he's ready to go. But, I wonder how in their brain, in the back of their mind, were they like, all right, yeah, easy enough. Let's just go ahead and move him into that role. Because, like I said, I think Chadwick Trump, either way, is your backup catcher. I think that Drake Baldwin's got to move into the 1A spot if you're going to bring him into that role. Now, the good news for me is, just in terms of having him as a prospect, that the fact that it's a 4 to 6 week injury for Sean Murphy means that there is a get-out date. You know what I mean? It's not open-ended. It's not like, oh, we'll see, we'll see how you do. There's a get-out date. You're not going to probably be up past April being the number one catcher for the Atlanta Braves. You know that, hey, let's dip our toe in the water, and then we can kind of, we do a little bit of the hokey-pokey, if you will, and let him get his feet wet. I think that's a positive thing.
It's a broken rib. So it's not as – and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean a bone is a little bit easier to kind of gauge when you're going to come back. There's a timetable on how long the bone is. A soft tissue injury like an oblique
is completely different. Yeah,
there's no timetable. It's bones most people that are healthy, their bones heal at a certain rate, right? But I mean, you have no clue. It's not, and guess what? This isn't, to me, having a broken 95 mile an hour ball hit your rib and break it is not an injury issue. It's not, oh, he's injury prone. No, I mean, look, you go back to 2023, the guy played 108 games, and he, you know, if you look at his game log, he was consistent in every month playing games. So he wasn't injured his first year here.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because Mike had already just pointed out earlier how everyone was saying, you know, Braves just got to stay healthy this year. So on the outside, you might feel a little bit deflated, or I think you use the words like, okay, here we go again. But what do you think's going on with the team?
I think they're fine. I think it's one of those things that hopefully you're approaching on an individual basis. You know, and I think that obviously it sucks for Sean Murphy, because I do think that he's probably viewed in that locker room as a leader, specifically with the pitchers. Guys like Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, that, you know, look, say what you want to about him offensively last year, those two guys had one of their better seasons of their career. And so I think that, you know, you look at Sean Murphy as some of the reasons why those guys are able to kind of step up in those roles. So I don't know. I don't think it's one of those things that kind of infects the clubhouse and you're like, oh, I hope I'm, you know, not next. But at the same time, as fans, you look at it and just like, dude, I hope that at some point he can get back to his all-star level from a year and a half ago. And I don't know that that's going to be particularly easy. It's not and let me just point this out too. It's a cracked rib. This is not an outfielder with a cracked rib. This guy is going to be behind the plate, you know, blocking balls
and at bat too. So
he's going to need a flak jacket of some sort, man. Like he's going to be in a bad way when ball in the dirt.
Can you imagine that twisting motion? Like, if you're throwing the ball back, if you're batting, like, that's
Well, it's why it's to that point. It's why he's you're sitting him now and resting. Every time I hear of a hitter in a spring training injury where they're out, I always worry, just like I did last year with Ronnie. Okay, how long does it take him to come back and get in rhythm at the plate?
Yeah.
And that's something that Sean Murphy never recovered from. Remember last year, that oblique strain was literally the first swing he took. Last season, in the first at bat in the first game last year,
dude,
and he missed 2 months. That's the good thing about it being a rib is, I mean, I don't know if I've had like a rib that was 100% was probably cracked. I didn't go get X-rays, but it was everything you felt.
Is this the Ozzy Albies toe thing going on again? Are you saying that, like, you know what he's going through? Because
no, I'm not saying go through. I'm saying it hurt me to get out of bed.
Yeah, seriously.
It hurt me to laugh.
I think it hurts to cough and laugh and sneeze just as much as anything.
But you had to roll. I had to roll out of bed a certain way. So there's no way you're getting.
What?
Yeah.
How did you have to roll out of bed? Like a log roll kind of thing?
Pretty much.
Like put hands across your chest?
Because you don't realize. Well, you don't realize when you sit up.
Everything's
for sure.
That's core and yeah.
I'm just getting a funny mental image thinking of Bo, like he's laying flat on his back in bed. He crosses his arms across his chest, coffin style, and then he's like, all right, here I go. And just barrel rolls off the bed, lands on his feet.
I pretty much would roll. You would just roll. I didn't cross my arms, but you roll.
It,
you just kind of roll.
Arms
and
over
then
the head.
And you kind of put a leg down and you.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
It hurts. I mean, broken ribs are.
That's
ribs
one thing I never.
Fun.
Look, man, I have injuries all up and down my body. Ribs are never something that I dealt with. I don't know why God blessed me with that, but ribs are never a thing.
Well, you know, the thing about when I had that is I didn't feel it till the next day. For whatever reason, it did not, I think, you know, because what I was in that.
What did you do?
It was when I did the radio promotion for
a
Muay Thai fight.
A soccer ball.
Everything comes back to this fight.
I guess adrenaline or whatever. And of course, I, you know, probably had a few after. And
I think adrenaline's what he dealt with a couple days ago. Remember, he got hit and then he finished the rest of the game. And then it was like, I woke up way more sore than I thought I was going to. And it was like,
that
ain't good.
It's the exact thing that happened to me. Well, obviously, I didn't get hit 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I feel bad about it for Sean Murphy. I am excited about the prospect of Drake Baldwin to begin the season, because I think everybody has his eyes on him as kind of the next thing and the next, hopefully, long-term catcher. But Sean Murphy just dealt with such an abyss offensively last year, man. Just could not pull himself out of it. And you just thought that, you know, hey, look, man, new offseason, back healthy, get your timing down. And then here we are. I mean, we ain't even got past, what, March 2nd, and then he got hit in the ribs. So it's frustrating.
And the fact that he is so good behind the plate as calling a game.
Yeah.
I don't think that – see, too often, it's just like defensive line, like defensive tackles. Like, we look at their sacks.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, God, our even defensive line is all, oh, he sucks. Well, he might be really good against the run game, which is probably why he's on the roster, right?
Yeah.
He's a run-stopping player.
Situational player.
Same thing with catchers. They're not there just to hit 45 home runs and gather 120 RBIs and steal 30 bases. No. Yeah. Their primary thing is their defense, and that's why you have guys like – and Sean Murphy is an elite defensive catcher.
Great point.
Not only with his framing, but how he calls the game.
Well, let's just say a top-ranking quarterback – who's a draftee at the NFL Combine, did not impress certain teams out there. Is that correct? That's what we're hearing when it comes to Shedeur Sanders. We'll tell you what's going on here next when we return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Back here on the morning shift and news coming out of the Combine involving Shedeur Sanders. And so longtime NFL reporter Josina Anderson put out a tweet reporting that there's a QB coach from a team that's drafting in the top seven that is not impressed with how Sanders carried himself at the Combine. And I'll just read you a little bit of her tweet. It goes on to say, from this source, I am disappointed to hear that a quarterback's coach from a team drafting in the top seven referred to Shedeur Sanders as coming off brash and arrogant in his team interview and making his assessment known to a number of people per source. And this is Josina's tweet, by the way. And so she's saying, I'm purposely not naming the team as not to directly call the team out. I'm just sharing that this coach's personal assessment is a direct opposite of how Sanders came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the Combine. So,
I mean,
she's saying she disagrees with what this coach was saying.
I don't understand how you can disagree with something that you weren't a part of. Like, this is a closed-door meeting that someone leaked to her what their thoughts were, and she doesn't like their thoughts. That's fine, you know, that's
well,
fine.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is, a source is what she has in there. A source told her that some coach is out there saying this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She wasn't a part of the meeting with one of this top seven team. I have another thought, though, on this because, you know, I think Deion Sanders is an extremely calculated person and he's smart.
Sure.
And I think that because of how boisterous he is at times, we think that he just talks and doesn't think. I think he's extremely calculated. And we had heard that when he last year that he said, hey, I'm going to kind of control. I don't want Shedeur going to certain places.
Right.
Right. So how do I and there's another report out there that I know we're going to hear the audio from that there's actually two teams that didn't that interviewed Shedeur that didn't love his interviews.
Right.
And I know we'll get that. So what if this wasn't a calculated thing where Shedeur kind of went into this when one or two teams that he doesn't want to be at there. He doesn't want to be drafted to. That Deion doesn't want him drafted to and was like, blow him off.
Yeah.
Just blow him off. And it's not calculated because we've seen this before with parents interfering. Hello, Archie Manning, Eli Manning.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the sound that we had. It is Todd McShay, who is an NFL draft analyst for McShay Productions and the McShay Show on The Ringer. Let's take a listen to what else he had to say about these reports.
The two people that I spoke to were in meetings and had these individual meetings that I just laid out to you, what they are, who's in there, and why they're important. Teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback. The two people that I spoke to in these positions left the meeting feeling like Shedeur Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had a 15-minute meeting with him, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shedeur Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him.
The way that I've been hearing that he came across is that he came across with a lot of confidence, someone that's confident in himself. And someone that's confident in himself doesn't necessarily care about what people think. And I guess what I'm getting at, maybe, and I don't know anything about these meetings, but did they want him to, like, kiss the ring more in those meetings? And
it's hard to comment when we don't know, acted to what he was asked. But when I hear that comment by McShay, that's why I started thinking about maybe he didn't take those meetings seriously because maybe he doesn't want to be drafted there.
But to say the player came across, I actually agree with you on that point. But to also say that the player didn't care about what they thought of him. So
that's exactly why I think that, because he's like, I don't care what you think of me. I don't want to go here. I'm going. It sounds like to me like it's, again, I don't know. It's just a shot in the dark. But what if this wasn't 100% calculated, where Deion was like, we don't want to go there. And I say we, because I mean, that's how Deion, said it when he was talking back before the season. But like, so just don't give him anything, be bad. Because again, you can kind of control where you go if you make it seem like you don't want to be there.
Yeah. I don't want to be sympathetic to what I think Josina Anderson's trying to say here. First of all, can we rip the Band-Aid off and just say she's talking about the Jets? I mean, where else would a top seven number come from? Like, why are we stopping at seven if we're not talking about the Jets right now? I mean, I can definitely, to your point, I can see a situation where basically Deion's like, hey, you ain't going to play in the Jets. That's a, that's a quarterback graveyard. You ain't playing for the Jets. He gets to the combine and he's like, Dad, the Jets have requested a meeting with me. How should I go about this? And Deion's like, well, just attend the meeting, but, make it clear that you're not that interested in the Jets. I can see that situation playing out. I think the other part of this is it that big of a stretch to think that there was that Shadur displayed some level of being brash or arrogant? I don't think that's a huge stretch. I mean, Deion's one of the most cocky/confident people that we've ever known in the NFL. So I don't think that's that big of a stretch. And I do find it interesting. Josina puts out this tweet. I mean, I distinctly remember this has got to be 7 years ago. Was it 2018 combine? I distinctly remember Josina doing an interview with Baker Mayfield about this exact same thing. Hey, people in the front offices are saying you're cocky. How do you feel about that? And he's like, I think it's just a confidence, and I'm just displaying who I am. I don't want to lie to them about who I am, and this is what I'm putting out. And guess what? He goes number one overall.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I think Albert Breer had something on that. I distinctly remember that, too. And I remember seeing the interview with him and Josina Anderson in the hallway at the combine. I remember Breer putting something on Monday Morning Quarterback or whatever it was at the time about how many people felt that Baker Mayfield was being genuine, but that there was a little bit of an arrogance.
It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
Exactly.
If it's the Jets, it's Charles London. That's the quarterback's coach. That's the quarterback coach for the Jets. So I think he was here with the Falcons for a couple years.
To your point a minute ago, I don't think this was leaked directly from the Jets to just anything. It sounds to me like she talked to somebody, because she says in her tweet he was making his assessment known to a number of people. So he talked to somebody, and those people talked to Josina, and it's like,
they all talk.
I just don't think it's that big of a stretch to think that somebody didn't agree with his arrogance or his being brash in a meeting. I don't think, are we really going out of our way to be like, hey, no way, not Shadur. Like, yeah, I can see that. But I'm glad he's being himself, though. Like, I think I actually brought this up yesterday. If y'all remember correctly, I was like, it's going to take a certain type of coach to want to take that on. And I think all Shadur is saying in these meetings is, if you're not ready for this, then don't bring me in. And if I was him, I wouldn't want to play for the New York Jets. It's a quarterback graveyard to go play for the Jets. I don't want to go up there.
I don't.
Like, that's a dysfunctional team.
It is interesting how you see with certain teams, the same thing keeps repeating itself over and over and over again, but you get new staffs in. So
do you remember what the grade was for the ownership in the New York Jets? I mean, we talked about the grades last week. It's like, it's not good up there.
Like, you don't ever see that, though. Like, if there's a play, if there's a business in your area that is I'll put it this way. There's certain places that are just locations. I've seen certain locations that had multiple different businesses, restaurants, whatever, and they all failed. And to your point, they were different ownerships, they were different staffs, they were different genres as far as the types of food or whatever you want to call it. there's some that, that's just it, it, when places get a bad rap, it is so hard to overcome it.
And that's what I talk about. So, and this a lot of this had to involve you. Our conversation about Jalen Carter that was 2 years ago. It was like, I don't trust what's going on with the Falcons to be able to develop him as a defensive lineman in order to make him a top 10 pick. I just don't trust it. Because you look at it, and we talk about the same teams every year that are looking for a quarterback. It's like the Jets and the Giants outside of Eli Manning. It's Browns. The Chicago Bears. It's the Browns. It's the Tennessee Titans. I mean, how many times have we seen the Titans be like, that's the guy? And they fall flat on their face every single time they try to make a first-round pick at quarterback. I wouldn't want to go to those teams if I was a quarterback. Definitely not a guy to the caliber of Shedeur Sanders. It's just you have the usual suspects that can get some things right and some things wrong. And it takes a coach or whatever else to completely flip that culture. Now, maybe he's that guy, but I don't look at the pairing of Shedeur Sanders and a Brian Callahan of saying, well, that's the one. Like.
And also, if you're a team, you don't want to take someone ultimately that doesn't want to be there.
Exactly. That's why I kind of bring into the thing about it being calculated because, okay, if he doesn't want to go somewhere and now we don't know because I don't know how many teams met with him. I don't know how those other interviews went. But the reality of the situation is, if he didn't want to be there and he made it known, he probably did them and him a favor.
I agree.
Because 100%. That's why I think the only thing I have a problem with about this tweet is someone getting angry about how someone perceives someone in an interview that you had nothing to do with.
Well, and that's my question. When I looked at the Justine Anderson tweet, I was like, is she upset that this person feels this way, or is she upset that they're sharing it with other NFL personnel?
Well, that's what they do. I know.
I completely agree with you. I don't understand.
In the business, you know that. It just seems like she feels like he's being mistyped, I guess. But again, you can't tell people how to feel about an interaction they had with someone.
In a closed-door meeting.
Yeah, when you don't know what was asked. Now, if she was given these extreme details, then that makes a lot more sense. It's not – it doesn't say that in this from what I read, unless I just didn't understand what I was reading or misread it. So I think having an issue with it is probably the only thing I would take out of it. I personally see this as a calculated move – by Shedeur and Dion one team in this one and then McShay of another team that basically didn't want to go to.
Well,
so the last part of it says, alternately, these observations were distinctly different from how another QB prospect came off to some in the media last year in Indy.
What the hell does that mean?
No, I'm not saying she's wrong or anything like that. I think there's probably another layer to her tweet, and I need to know who the quarterback is
let's just layer it this year. Like, I mean, Cam Ward's probably going to be the first quarterback taken. Are you telling me he doesn't have money?
Also, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't think Cam Ward doesn't play with a little bit of cockiness and arrogance, and you didn't watch him play.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe he was different in the meeting, but I want to know who this quarterback was last year.
That's my issue with this report, is that it is put out in a way to make the coach look bad because their meeting didn't go the way he wanted it to. And it's also kind of making Shedeur look good and bad in it to me. When they had a meeting and it didn't go. Meetings.
I wish I had more context, but I don't necessarily have a problem with what she might be calling out. If it, you know. There might be another layer to this, is what I'm saying.
Well, this coach is going to be in for a rude awakening. If this coach doesn't like players with money, then he's not going to want any player in the next.
Wait, where did I miss that part?
The culture of athletes of broad fame and financial success before entering the NFL. It's going to be everybody now.
But what is that based on? Is that an opinion from her source of what that coach likes and doesn't like? Or is that a fact?
This is what the coach, well, it says seems. So according to sources, the coach seems. So yeah, you don't know if it's a. So what if this is a team that is not in the top seven? I know they said it is. But trying to, I don't know, maybe make it so he falls their way or something.
Well, I think somebody in the top seven would want to do that too.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think that would stop at 7 or 10.
Well, yeah, to make sure he gets there.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that stops at 7.
What if that's another, if you're going around telling other people stuff like that, and you're trying to alter something. You're trying to change something.
You're so right, because this happens every freaking year. That's my issue with this unnamed coach who is apparently just a bad person. And, you know, it's just like we don't know anything that happened. We don't know what Shador did. We don't know what the coach asked.
Well, you heard McShay, too.
Well, see, McShay said two teams felt like he didn't care what they thought of him, which is where I am. When I heard that, I said, gee, why would you give teams that impression? Oh, I know why. Because you don't want to go there. And so you want to make sure they don't draft you, which I understand.
Well, that's essentially what I think Josina's tweet says. She adds more detail than what we just heard in that snippet from McShay.
She says that and then to me, somewhat attacks the coach. Yeah, because there's no reason to put that about the coach.
I agree. She didn't have to start with "I'm disappointed that," and like I need more. I need more context. I need more nuance than that.
And they're both going off of sources, so we don't know which way's up or down. This could be all done just to make him fall to a certain team.
All right. When we come back here on the morning shift, can the Falcons land any of the big name free agent defensive tackles that are on the market? We'll discuss at the top of the hour on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.